God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just over 5 years ago, or approximately 5 years ago, my family and I were living, or had just moved to Suwanee, Tennessee, where I was to spend a year in the Episcopal Seminary preparing for my ordination to the priesthood. And one of the lovely things about that year was that our lives slowed down a bit. And we seemed to have time for, among other things, longer, more relaxed conversations around the dinner table. As relaxed as dinner conversations can be with a six-year-old, a three-year-old, and a newborn. But it was during this time that we went through a period of several weeks of focusing our evening dinner conversations on the relative strengths and powers of particular superheroes. Specifically, the question would generally present itself as to what would happen if two particular superheroes were to battle one another. For example, if Thor was to fight Iron Man, who would win? I don't know how much time each of you has spent in your life reflecting upon these types of questions, but we did our best to exhaust the topic. Now, sometimes the question was relatively easily answered, like the example that I just gave, and during coffee hour I can explain why that's an easy question, Iron Man and Thor, but I won't go into that now. But other times we were not as easily able to reach a consensus. However, as my family learned, my general tendency was to favor the Incredible Hulk in any battle. Because, as I assume most of you know, the angrier that the Incredible Hulk gets, the stronger he gets, and so the longer the battle goes on, the harder he is going to be to defeat. And so it came that on one particular evening, after a discussion in that regard, one of my children asked, "But Dad, what if the Incredible Hulk fought God? Who would win then?" Before I could formulate an answer, another one of my children spoke up. And she said, "I know the answer, Dad." And so I said, "Please." She said, "God would just hold the Incredible Hulk's hand until he wasn't angry anymore. God would just hold the Hulk's hand until he wasn't angry anymore. In other words, God would offer the peace of his presence until the Hulk's anger had passed, until the storm was over, until the suffering had ceased. In this week's gospel lesson, God, in the person of Jesus, encounters human suffering and offers God's presence, and through it, his healing power in response to that suffering. Last week we saw Jesus speak peace to the larger storm that threatened to drown his disciples. And this week we see Jesus offering peace to the smaller storms that threaten the lives and well-being of particular individuals. Through these encounters we see how God's peace-filled presence, God's holding of the hands of the suffering, Jesus' willingness to make time for the desperate and the dying is critical to the experience of healing in this world. And through it, we can see how we, as the body of Christ in the world today, are called to be willing to slow down, to listen to those who are asking for our help, to reach out to those we know are desperate and suffering, to take time from the other important tasks that we have before us, and to offer our healing presence to those who are in need of peace. Now, there are two very different stories of suffering that we are presented with in this week's gospel. On the one hand, the suffering of a dying young girl and her family. And on the other, the long-suffering illness of a grown woman. The 12-year-old girl is the daughter of Jairus, a prominent Jew, a leader of the local synagogue who comes to Jesus, falls to the ground in front of Jesus, and begs him to help his dying daughter. His words to Jesus, "Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live," indicate that he believes that Jesus has the power to heal her. And while we might be moved to laud him as showing far more wisdom than the other religious authorities who have rejected and are plotting against Jesus, I suspect that Jairus' actions have less to do with his wisdom and judgment than with his suffering and desperation. In other words, his daughter is dying, and he is willing to do anything to try to help her. He is, in that regard, much like most of us, or all of us, he is most willing to reach out to God, to be willing to encounter God and let him disrupt his life when things have gone awry. Jesus offered his presence to Jairus. The passage says simply, "So he went with him." He may not have literally held Jairus' hand, but he turned from the crowd and began to walk with Jairus back to his home so that he might offer his presence. But even as he responds to Jairus and his suffering, Jesus continues to be willing to stop and respond to the suffering of the hemorrhaging woman whom he encounters along the way. Unlike Jairus, she has no position of prominence. Moreover, given what ails her and for how long it has ailed her, she would have been considered perpetually unclean, an outcast whose very presence in that crowd would have been a scandal. Though in their social status, Jairus and the woman could not have been more different, they are similarly desperate for healing, and they both place their faith in Jesus. And Jesus makes time for both of them. With the crowd pressing in around them, Jesus declares to the woman and to the entire community that she has been healed, that her faith has made her well, that she has no reason to be shunned anymore and can be restored to wholeness in that community, that she can go in peace. And then he continues on to Jairus' home, unabated by the news of the girl's death. He is present with the family in the midst of their grief, their weeping and wailing. And he then, in the midst of that storm, takes the girl by the hand. He holds her hand and he speaks to her, calling her life back to her body. And just as he restored the woman to full community by declaring her clean in front of the crowd, Jesus restores this little girl to community and communion with those around her by instructing those in her midst to now bring her a meal so that she might eat with them. As the body of Christ in the world today, It is our job to hear the pleas of those who are desperate for peace and healing, for those in our midst who need our presence. We may not be able to offer the miraculous healing that Jesus did in this gospel passage, but we can try. But more important than the momentary healing that Jesus offered to this woman and to this girl was the fact that through his willingness to share his peace-filled presence, he offered them both a lasting experience of the divine that marked them for the rest of their lives. And we have the opportunity to do that through our prayers and our presence every day. For as long as we walk this earth, we will encounter suffering. The question for us is whether we will make time to stop and hold the hands of the suffering until the storm passes.